is a presentation from Kurt on the 18-month delay of implementation contribution rate changes. Item 14.
Okay, this item, this
and top 15, I guess.
Yes.
First discussion, then
14. Yes.
Action.
So this topic came up when we adopted the funding policy, the written funding policy earlier this year. And at that time, we wrote the funding policy as if we're sticking with our current methodology. And we were asked to look at this and present to the board to consider changing it. Now, a couple other items on today's agenda have touched on this 18-month delay. So we're a little familiar with some of the complications that it presents. But basically, you do evaluation as of a certain date, 12/31/13, for example, and the contribution rates from that valuation don't go into effect until 18 months later, the start of the county's next fiscal year, July 1. But it's not really an 18-month delay, because by the time the valuation is done, it's much less than 18 months. In fact, it could be 6 or 7 months in this case.
Right. It will be for 2013.
It will be, yes. And there's some, so there's some reasons why this got to be this way, this 18-month delay. And we've, the board has discussed this in the past. It's been several years, but the topic always came up that, well, the employer needs plenty of time to do the budget. They're already starting their budgeting process for the next fiscal year. They need to know what the rate is, and especially since it's become such a large part of their costs. And it takes, you know, a number of weeks or possibly months to actually adopt these rates and get them into the payroll systems. But there's other practical considerations that we touched on but haven't gone into detail. I wanted to outline them for you, which I did. So I'll run through them as quickly as I can, because
Kurt, before you do that, can I ask a question? And if I should know the answer to this, I'll apologize in advance. Your recommendation is that we not change the status quo for the reasons that you've stated in the memo. I'm trying to remember if this came up at a prior meeting where we wanted it brought back, and if that's the reason for this. I'm just trying to understand why
yes,
we're talking about it.
It was brought up when we adopted the funding policy.
Okay.
Some board members wanted it addressed at that time, and we said, let's adopt the funding policy. We can always amend it, but we need to get it adopted.
Kurt, does the so there's obviously a cost to the delay when the rates are going up. There's a cost to delaying implementation of this contribution. Who bears that cost?
The employer bears that cost. Now,
100%?
Yes. So in the past few years, when they do evaluation and they reconcile the rate, they say the rate went up this much because of this, this much because of this, this much because of the 18-month delay. And when they do rate projections, they show you the same thing. And you always keep seeing this cost to the 18-month delay. It's only been showing up as a cost because the rate's been going up, you know, every single year for 5 straight years. Now, it isn't overall a cost, because sometimes the rate goes down and then there would be a savings for delaying the decrease in the cost. So, but it does, the reason this has come up as an issue is because we keep seeing these reports and we keep seeing a cost associated with the 18-month delay. But that is a smaller issue than the much larger issue is that the rates go up every single year, it seems like. That's the bigger issue.
And how long have been, when was the last time rates went down?
I think probably the year before the 2008 drop, so I think 2007.
Okay.
So it was the asset loss in 2008 that took 5 years to smooth in, and there was losses every year as rate increases.
So I think, you know, again, I kind of go back to the step back and look at the bigger picture here. Now, here's a cost that's being borne by the employer on this delay, and I think based on just the conversation I've heard today that everyone's going to say, no, we should just keep that 18-month delay. But yet then we get to another item where the previous item we just talked about, and we want to do something immediately about that. And so I just sort of see this flipping back and forth based on, you know, lowering rates, but not a consistency. I guess I'm looking for the consistency in policy.
Gabe.
Yeah, I think this one's a one-time thing. This is an ongoing process. I think that's the difference between the two. That was it.
Okay. I think Karen was first and Will.
I see a difference. It's a one-time thing, but the budgeting is the process where you have to know what our revenue is going to be, and so that's where the delay is. My question, Kurt, is the cost is borne by the employer. Is there anything that prohibits that being a shared cost, or is it because it's an I understand unfunded liability, but why is
right.
that?
Let me explain why there's a cost.
Pardon me?
Let me explain why there's a cost. So the rate, so the actuary does the valuation and calculates a rate increase
right.
and puts that in the valuation and says, here, as of this date,
right.
the rate should increase, but it doesn't.
Right. It takes a delay, and
right.
I understand that. But what I'm not clear on is why doesn't the employee share in that cost?
Because the way it factors into future costs is 1 year later, when you look at your assets and you look at your unfunded liability, you can break it out and say part of this unfunded liability now is because, well, that rate increase we didn't implement.
Okay.
And it's because the employer completely pays for the unfunded liability.
No, and I understand that. I just didn't know. So by law, we're precluded from having that cost borne equally by employer, employee, because it's considered an unfunded liability for those 18 months.
Yes.
Well, it's
yes.
a loss
which is
on
too
the
bad.
System, right?
A loss or a gain.
It could be a gain.
Well, yeah.
A loss or a gain to the system, but it's...
And even when there's an increase, okay, even when there's an actuarial loss, investment loss or whatever, that increases your unfunded liability, increases your contribution rates, you're going to wait 18 months before you do that increase. Well, that layer is going to run out eventually. And when that layer runs out and that is fully amortized, you don't have to pay anything for it, you're going to wait 18 months before you lower the rate. So it's just shifting when you're paying it, and this cost is just the time value of money.
Is there a reason why that cost is not included in both the employer cost or benefit, actually, it can go either way. Is there a reason why that's not included in the calculation of normal cost and split mm-hmm. by the employer and the employee?
It's just not part of normal cost.
Yeah.
There's no...
Is that always the case, or is it just here?
Yeah,
normal cost. No, I mean the normal cost is based on the funding method, entry age normal, and it's just not in there.
So I guess my question is for Paul: are there other systems that actually do include this cost as part of?
We have two systems that adjust the cost to anticipate that there eventually will be this gain or this loss. It's Kern and Orange.
Yeah. But only the employer rate is adjusted. The member rate is not adjusted.
But it's not becoming part of the unfunded liability if you do that, right?
Well, it is. The real key is, and there's a line in this in our report, the unfunded is still going to show up in the valuation at the same time. It's just you start paying it off 1 year early. That's really all this is. Normally, it would show up in the valuation the year after the delay occurs, and then that sets the rates to start over here. All that this does is in the valuation where those missing contributions occurred, we would build that extra cost in 1 year earlier. So it's really same impact on unfunded. It just starts to get paid off 1 year earlier by the employer. I think that really boils down what you're doing.
Rusty.
If I could change the discussion here, there's also a suggestion here that we could go on a 12-month, or rather on a fiscal calendar, basis similar to the county, same time. I'm wondering how the board feels about that idea. It's on page 2 at the bottom, the last paragraph.
I saw that too, and I would like to consider that. Except I saw something about how our asset managers are on a
right.
calendar
mm-hmm.
year. So is that a big deal?
It's not a big deal. Changing the plan year to a fiscal year is a pretty big deal on itself. I mean, you would want to analyze that and look at the pros and cons. And this fact that you could reduce the delay to 12 months would be one of the pros. We haven't talked about the cons. But even with a 12-month delay, you have, you know, sure, you're helping a little bit, but you still have the same issue where you calculate an increase in the contribution rate, you do a full valuation, you do another snap side of your assets for the next valuation, and that increase isn't there yet.
So if you repeat a question, but why is this on the agenda today?
It came up with the when we
funding policy.
Yeah, it's part of the funding policy, and because, well,
Yeah.
I don't know why it's on this agenda and not last month's, but it's part of the funding. It was written into the funding policy with the understanding that we were going to consider it later.
Kurt, you say 15 out of the 20, 37 counties practice this fiscal calendar as opposed to the annual calendar, yearly calendar. Do you know if any of these were recently switched to this fiscal calendar?
I know a couple that have switched, and we certainly switched from fiscal to calendar year at one point. They don't switch often. There was Kern, yeah.
Kern did a few years ago. 6 years ago.
One thing it comes up is your amortization schedule, because now all your amortization periods are going to have a half a period floating around in them. That's the only reason we know it's here at Kern. So, but it really, I want to emphasize Kurt's point. This is a big operational change. You wouldn't do this because you're worried about the lag and the impact of the new contract. There's a lot more machinery that's going to get changed.
Let me throw in two observations. One from my own career experience. Going to a fiscal year is incredibly confusing to a great percent of the users ever after going forward. It's just constantly not understood. The second, and it's very key, I think, to our valuation process, is that the alternative assets, and Tim's the right one to talk on this, certainly, and it's pointed out in this memo, are not valued on 12, at least some of them are not in July 31. They're valued in 12/31. So you'd have a valuation issue that would be a very real one for us. But I'd say for the reason alone that it's incredibly confusing to, in operation, to go to a fiscal year, I would stay with the calendar year.
And I think with the members, too, that's probably, are you talking about the members as well?
I'm talking about anybody who uses the plan and ever gets involved in what year it is.
I can see the members would be the way it is now. I think it's easier for them to understand it.
I think our current situation this year is all you need to look at. I mean, if this was, you know, March or April, you know, if you roll it forward 6 months and we still don't have a valuation, good luck with your budgeting. Second, I don't think it would be good for employers at this point to make the switch because we're sitting on such a large amount of unrecognized gains. So the employers have had like 5 years of, you know, trailing bad news in which they, you know, are creating all this unfunded. It would seem to me if you moved it all forward right now, you recognized all those gains, they wouldn't get all that credit going forward the next 5 years. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't see a lot of value in changing either policy.
Yeah, for the sake of moving, I'm going to make the recommendation that we do not institute any changes and we stay with what we're currently doing.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried unanimously.
The later the hour, the more freely.
You're getting it, huh?
Find those exits.
If it were tea time, Scott, we'd be out by 11.
Yeah. That's been law.
I don't play golf.